minute, but she really loved it. Don't fool me, man. How many of us really love the Lord? I love Him. Deborah Campbell said, I love it, I love it, I love it. Thank you, senior choir, for that rendition. I love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, we once again stand behind this sacred desk to lift you up. We pray, Lord, that you will bless your waiting congregation. We all need to hear a word from on high. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come out to your house one more time. We don't take it for granted that we're here. We could have been someplace else. We didn't have to get up this morning. But you gave us the breath of life. You breathe into us. You allow our time to roll on in the earth. And so, God, we're here on today because of who you are. Because we love you just that much. And so, God, we ask that you speak through us, that you speak through me, that you enable me, Lord God, and give me the strength to share what you have already given me. Bless this waiting congregation. May someone be drawn closer to you after this sermon. May someone, God, who hasn't taken you seriously in their lives, decide to walk down the aisle, to give their hand to the deacon, but most of all, to give their heart to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. By invitation only. Coming from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 10, the 22nd through the 27th verse of the 21st chapter, as well as the 22nd chapter of Revelations, the first through the fifth verse. The Emily Post Institute on today will give us some advice on invitation etiquette. Whether it's a wedding, a dinner party, a shower, or a gala event, an invitation comes with some important obligations. The word RSVP comes from the French words. It is short for répondez, cela vos polite, or please reply. These acronyms, RSVP, according to Emily Post Institute, has been around for a long time. And it tells us that your host wants to know if you will attend. We are to promptly reply within a day or two of receiving an invitation. And by the deadline at the latest, if one is given. How do we respond? We should respond according to the manner indicated on the invitation. If we receive an RSVP and no response card is attached, a handwritten response to the host at the return address on the envelope is acceptable. If we receive a response card, we should fill it out and reply by the date indicated and return in the enclosed envelope. If we receive an RSVP with a phone number, we should call the host. Make sure to speak in person. Answering machines can be unreliable. If we receive an RSVP with an email, we may accept or decline electronically. With regrets only, we should only reply if we cannot attend the event. If the host doesn't hear from us, they will assume our presence. If no reply is requested, which is unusual. It's always polite, according to Emily Post Institute, to let someone or the host know our intentions. Phone call would be sufficient, according to Emily Post Institute. Is that your final answer? Changing a yes to a no is only acceptable on the account of illness or injury, a death in the family, or an unavoidable professional or business conflict. We are obligated to call the host immediately. Canceling because we have a better offer is a sure way to get dropped from all the guest lists. Being a no-show is only okay if it will not upset the hostess' arrangements. According to Emily Post Institute, may I bring a date? Some invitations indicate that you may invite a guest or a date. And when we are bringing someone, we should convey their name. Can we bring our children? If they were invited, the invitation would have said so. Unlike RSVPs, whereby we must respond to a host who has invited us to an event, we remove ourselves from the guest list in heaven by remaining unsaved. Thus, our names aren't in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone who is born is originally in the book. But until we come in the awareness of our sinfulness, if we choose to not receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we remove ourselves from the Lamb's Book of Life. So heaven is by invitation only. You don't have to respond to an RSVP. Like in the world, you ought to know if you're going to heaven. We already know that the Apostle John was exiled on an island called Patmos when he receives these revelations from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto us, his servants, us and them at the time, which must shortly come to pass. Revelation was written when the Christians were entering a time of persecution. The two periods most often mentioned was the latter part of Nero's reign, around AD 54 through 68. And the latter part of Domitian's reign between AD 81 and 96. The occasion was the Roman authorities were beginning to enforce emperor worship. Amen. Christians who held that Jesus Christ, not Caesar, were Lord, were facing increasing hostility. The believers at Smyrna were warned against opposition, and the church at Philadelphia was told an hour of trial was coming on the world. The Apostle John Church was exiled to Patmos because of his activities as a Christian missionary. It was some within the church who were advocating a policy of compromise, which had to be corrected before its subtle influence could undermine the determination of the believers to stand fast in the perilous days which lied ahead. So the Apostle John encouraged the faithful to resist staunchly of the demands of emperor worship. He informs his readers that the final showdown between God and Satan was imminent. Yes. Satan would increase his persecution, yes, of believers, but they must stand fast even unto death. They were sealed against any spiritual harm and will soon be vindicated when Jesus Christ returns, when the wicked will forever be destroyed, and when God's people enter an eternity of glory and blessedness. The Apostle John was privy to see what the end would be like, in that he sees the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. Jerusalem, which is above, corresponded with the rabbinical teaching held that Jerusalem above was the heavenly archetype. The heavenly archetype that in the Messianic period would be let down to the earth. It's referred to as the heavenly city of God, in which Christ reigns and which Christians are the citizens. In contrast to the present city of Jerusalem, as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, Christians are her children. And I'm so glad that the Bible says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm so glad that the former things will be passed away, because some of us, if not most of us, have cried some tears. Our loved ones have gone before us. We have felt sorrowful. We have cried. We have experienced some pain in this life. But I thank God that in heaven the former things will be passed away. Say to your neighbor, just hold on and don't give in, because the Bible says he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Amen. Say to your neighbor that he is real. Jesus is real, and if you fit into any of these categories mentioned, you need to repent. You need to make a U-turn in your life and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, realizing that he died for your sins. There are a multitude of sins which we need to repent of. But what is mentioned in verse 7 of Revelation 21 is only a few. But the emphasis of those who shall inherit all things is in reference to the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor. Know that the number 7 in scriptures represent completion. So we see in the 9th verse these words. There came unto me John, one of the 7 angels which had the 7 seals full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me. John saying, come hither, come closer, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Jesus is the husbandman, and we are his bride, the church of believers in Jesus Christ. Say to your neighbor, heaven is by invitation only. And you remove your name from the guest book, the Lamb's book of life, by your unbelieving spirit, by not accepting him as your Lord and Savior, and living for him in this evil and dark world. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the things of God to us. That's why so many are lost in the world, is because they haven't received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. thus foregoing the opportunity to have His Holy Spirit residing in them. The Bible says, in Him ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Our verse says, and He carried me, John, away in the spirit, and a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God. Let me first say, the Holy Spirit I referred to in my analogy is the Holy Spirit that will reveal all things to us and also seals us until the day of redemption, which we were alluding to in this text. However, this spirit mentioned in our 10th verse is a heightened awareness contrasting the bride as well as the harlot. It's the Holy Spirit which gives us a heightened awareness of the things to come in the spirit. A restored Jerusalem was at the center of messianic expectations in first century AD. The Jews longed for this since their return from exile. In this vision, the Apostle John describes what it will be like when God finally brings these hopes to fruition. God is someone who will not disappoint us like some folks in the earth. But to see these manifestations is by invitation only. And only you remove your name from the guest list, the Lamb's Book of Life, because of your unbelief and your non-acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord as well as your Savior. And most importantly, living for Him in the earth. How many of us know that there are no contradictions in the Word of God? Why would God do that? That would be ammunition for the adversary to say through some individual that God's Word isn't true. That's why we must truly be good students in the Word of God. God wants us to go beyond the surface of the Scriptures. Say to your neighbor, we need to eat the meat of the Word of God. Some of us are still on baby food. Apostle John appears to contradict his earlier visions of a temple found in Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 19, and Revelation, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 17, where he says in Revelation 11 and 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And in Revelation 14, chapter 15 through the 16th verse, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth and was reaped. And our verse says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Each vision of a temple was a symbolic representation of God's presence. In the end, there's no need for a temple in heaven because God's presence will be with His people. Tell your neighbor, this is by invitation only. You remove your name by your unbelief in Jesus Christ from the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Say to your neighbor, some things will not be needful in heaven. the sun and the moon aren't needful in heaven. For the Bible says elsewhere, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. How many of us have come to God's light? Or do we have someone who prefers the darkness in the world? For our scripture says, and the city Jerusalem had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, thereof. When we have Jesus, we have the light of the world dwelling in us. But some folks prefer the darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. In our next verses, God promised to Abraham was fulfilled. The kings of the world represent God's enemies. However, his enemies will be destroyed, and the picture of God's glory is reflected in those who have repented of their sins and walked with God in this life. Unlike in the earth, we have to lock the gates in the earth, but in heaven the gates will be open, but you cannot walk in unless your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the ancient world, the gates protected the cities from their enemies. There won't be any haters in heaven. The Bible says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor in it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. How many of us have had enough with the evil in this evil world? Evil is generalized as idolatry and dishonesty. Those who fail to appear in the Book of Life are excluded from the city of God. Only those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life were the pure in heart who will see God. Only the Word of God and our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior creates a pure heart. A pure heart in us to know him for who he is. Somebody ought to be happy about a pure heart in him, because some stony hearts exist in the earth. For the Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's by invitation only. And if somebody is still clueless, say to them that heaven is by invitation only. Our sinfulness removes our name from the Lamb's Book of Life. Because God is all knowing, he must bring finality to what happened in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. When Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thus sin entered into the world. Very quickly, let us bring these scriptures to a close. Man, because of his sinfulness, was denied access to the tree of life after he sinned, eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because had he ate from the tree of life, he would have remained in his sins forever. We see in the scriptures a tree on each side of the river, showing there is no wrong side of the river in heaven. The tree produces 12 crops of fruit each month, demonstrating God's constant provision. What I'm alluding to is found in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 2. Ever since the first sin, humanity has been cursed because of their rebellion against God. However, rebellion, sin, and the curse are gone forever. Somebody ought to say forever. In heaven, we will worship God. What I'm alluding to is found in Revelation 22, verse 3. On this side of heaven, some of us are fearful of death because we don't know what that experience will be like in our lives. But there will be no fear of death or God because we will be in heaven. The Bible says, and they shall see his face, God, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and there no need of a candle, neither light of the sun. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In the Emily Post Institute analogy were various ways in which we can RSVP, but in regards to heaven, we voluntarily remove our names from the Lamb's Book of Life. Through our unbelief in Jesus Christ, not believing that he died for our sins. Let us pray. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people who have decided in this life to live for you, having accepted you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, believing that you died for our sins, past, present, as well as in the future. It's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ we pray. Let the church say amen. By invitation only, by invitation only, by your unbelief, you remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. And I need to say this parenthetically, that if you're not certain of heaven, you need to come forward and give your life to Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Lord and Savior and continue to live for him in the world. We need some representatives in the world because Satan got a whole lot of imps in the world. Whole lot of folk in the world perpetuating evil in the world. We need some Jesus folks in the world. Amen. Amen. And we especially need men. Because I believe when you get the man, you get the whole family. Doors of the church are open. God is inviting someone to come forward